For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
It's fresh, it never grows old, praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with an open heart to hear your word, to hear what your spirit has to say to us. And Lord, we ask that you refresh us, that we would be people of understanding, and people of hearing, and people of doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been looking at the last day's famine of hearing, and this is part three that we'll be looking at today. We've looked at the fact that hearing is vital for the Christian life. We won't turn to it, but we found that a wise man will hear and will increase in learning and understanding in Proverbs 1. That tells us that. We also saw in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear, and that there are not every person has ears to hear. And then we're talking about spiritual ears. And of course, if people don't respect the Lord's words, then he won't hear them. And the fact is that by not hearing, people are missing out on so much of God's blessing. But it is very much a famine. We saw that there was a famine of hearing. We looked at several prophecies so far. We'll look at some more today. We looked at the fact that in Daniel 12 talked about knowledge being increased and that many running to and fro, and that there's not much excuse in terms of, is God's word available? It certainly is available, and available more so than any other time in history and quicker than in any other time in history. You can take hold of the word of God and put it onto your phone, and it's all searchable, and it's so very, very quick compared to say even 50 years ago. So we know that it's the famine of hearing, not of accessibility. The word of God, and specifically the authorized version, King James Bible, is very, very accessible today. But we see that there's many people who have itching ears, which means that they want to hear what they want to hear. Not what God wants them to hear, but they want to hear what they want to hear. And 2 Timothy talks about that prophecy of heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. We saw that that's a real problem. And the famine of hearing, let's have a look at that in Amos 8, verses 9 to 13. We'll look at that one because this famine is twofold in nature. It's a famine of hearing the pure word and assuming that it's not available. But of course we do know that it is available. There's a famine of not hearing the pure word, and so they turn to other so-called Bibles, modern versions. And also it's a famine of not hearing the nourishing words of faith and of good doctrine, according to 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. So there's people who will seek out not to hear what needs to be nourishing them, but to hear things that are not nourishing at all. And so they'll be locked in places which won't even teach about faith or prosperity or healing or proper views of creation, etc., etc. In Amos 8, start from verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So we see that that is sent because God will give people over to their own lusts, such as itching ears type lusts, give that over, people over to that if that's really what they're wanting in their hearts. But of course they can repent. They can say, I choose God's ways. Nevertheless, there is this famine that has come, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, we've just talked about the fact that the word of the Lord is available, and the nourishing words of faith and good doctrine is available, but why aren't they able to find it? Why aren't they able to see it or to hear it? Because there's a famine, and the famine has started in their heart, hasn't it? A famine saying, I will not hear. I choose not to hear. And there's something in there that's not right. Something in there that's not right. Now, I wrote a book, Now You Are a Christian, Now You Are a Christian, and on pages 12 and 13, I want to quote this again because it's a good book to go and have a read of, but this particular part talks about this whole area of neglecting the truth and allowing other things to get in the way. And this is what I say. Thus, suppose a Christian stayed only in churches that preached about getting born again, but neglected other vital doctrines, such as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spiritual gifts in their use, prosperity, healing and health, how to live and walk by faith, separation from the world, young earth creation, Bible prophecy and so on. Such Christians would clearly be deficient and never reach full potential in God, nor do the works that God would want using their talents for the kingdom of God. In fact, these Christians will be answerable to God because ignorance is not an excuse. Now, the Bible, there's many prophecies which talk about in the Bible about a cleansing of the church in the last days. The Bible is very clear that Christ is returning for a glorified church, okay, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, that has been washed by the water of the Word of God. And we know that currently there's a whole fracturing across the body of Christ, all different types of beliefs and people locked, as I mentioned in that section of the book, people locked into places where they're not even hearing nourishing words when they should be. And this is a real problem. And God is going to be dealing with this prior to the second coming of Christ. And so it's affecting, currently it's affecting the gospel going out in power. If you look at Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27, let's have a look at that. We see the type of church that Christ is coming back for. And then we're going to go into the prophecy in Zephaniah, and that prophecy is about the Lord turning people to a pure language, which we would say is a biblical language sweet to the hearer. So Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. Notice what it's saying here. We'll start from verse 25. And then we'll go to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is a prophecy. And you can see that Christ is wanting the church to be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word. Now, think about it. If this is just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the word has to be available. And it has to be a cleansing word. It has to be a word that is pure. It has to be a word that is cleansing. Why? Because if you imagine going and washing in dirty water, you wouldn't come out very clean, would you? And this is the whole thing with this. There has to be a cleansing of people's thinking and minds and hearts so that there is a sanctification, and that Jesus might, as it says there, present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that talks about being separate from the world, separate from the filth of wrong doctrine, etc. And this is the type of church that Jesus is coming back for. He's not coming back for a weakling type of church. He's coming back for a church that is strong and word-based, word-oriented, faith-based type church. This is something that is very, very important for us to understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's take that into our heart and understand this, because when Christ comes, the gospel is going to be going out with great power. So just before Christ comes, there's going to be a church that is quite militant and quite evangelical and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Let's have a look in Zephaniah now. Zephaniah chapter 3, and we'll go right through this chapter because it really pinpoints what's going to happen in these last days. And one of the things we really have to get hold of is that there is going to be an emphasis on the pure in the last days. An emphasis on the pure. So Zephaniah 3, verses 1 to 17. Now what we see today in the current trend of the Laodicean period type of church, we see very much an emphasis of, oh, we've got to become relevant and more like the world. Whereas the Lord is saying, no, you're a peculiar people, you're a separate people, you need to be sanctified, you need to be very different from the world. My kingdom is not of this world, and you have to understand how I operate, and it's not the way of the world that I operate. And Jesus, as the head of the church, is showing us what needs to be done. Now, Zephaniah, let's start from verse 1 of chapter 3, and you'll see some very clear things. We're going to be going right down to verse 17. So I'll take you through this, and then we've got a few other scriptures relevant to this that we need to go through. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. So let's see what this is saying. Verse 1 is very clear that God is against something that's filthy and polluted and oppressing. Okay? Anything that's filthy and polluted is the opposite to the Lord. Do you understand that? This is very important to see. And he pinpoints why it's filthy and polluted in verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. So today we have currently going out in great accessibility the Word of God, but there's this famine of hearing in place at the moment, and people are not obeying the voice that's gone out. She received not correction. Correction. Is correction important? If I was going along the wrong side of the road, would I need to be corrected to get back onto the other side of the road? I would, wouldn't I? Otherwise, I could go straight into another car or truck or something like that. So you see, correction is very important in our lives. You can only have correction if you have a proper word in place. She trusted not in the Lord, talking about having faith in God. The Bible says, have faith in God. That's a commandment from Jesus, by the way. Have faith in God. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Well, if you're not drawing nigh to the Lord, where are you drawing nigh to? You're drawing nigh to something else, aren't you? To sinful things. Look at verse 3. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. So you can see they're getting prepared for a great feast of their own. It's not the right judgment from God. Verse 4, her prophet, and this is a real problem. It's a real problem in the church especially. Her prophets are light. Okay? So when we say light, we're talking about there's not much substance to what they're saying. And treacherous persons. Light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. Sad thing, sad situation. The sanctuary is meant to be a place of holiness. And we saw before that Christ is coming for a church that is holy. They have done violence to the law. How do you do violence to the law of God? By what? Changing it. By changing it. See? By going away from it. By saying to people, look, you don't have to do this. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to go this way. Oh, that's just legalism. You don't have to do that. You don't have to turn up to church. Why bother? No, there's a lot of lightness and treachery going on at the moment. They've done violence to the law. Now, notice what it says in verse 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. See, the Lord is in the midst of the church. We know that. He will not do iniquity. Okay, so God has nothing to do with sin. He's pure, isn't he? Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. Okay, so he's making it available. He faileth not. Does God's word fail? No, not at all. But the unjust knoweth no shame. Now, when you've got a real mixture in the church worldwide, which is what we have now in the famine of hearing, you have all types of things that are wrong. That's why we have this fracturing. That's why we have all different types of doctrines throughout the body of Christ at the moment. That's why we have this pollution and so on, and so many different problems. But it's not the church that Christ is coming back for. He's coming back for a spotless church. He's coming back for a word-washed church. Remember this. Verse 6, once again, God is speaking. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. As far as God is concerned, sin is to be destroyed, is to be stopped. And there's coming a time of great wrath upon this earth, of great wrath. And we need to be prepared for it, and the church needs to be warning people about it. Verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. So people must come back to this, I have to be corrected. There has to be repentance. Okay? God will always judge sin. Always. And sin is always a thing that leads to destruction. Now what does it say in verse 8? Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. That time has not quite yet come, but it is fast coming. And it's talking about that particular day. Therefore, wait ye upon me. That's a warning to the church. That's a saying to the church. Wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up. So it's until that day where God rises up to the prey. And there's coming a time, we know it as the great tribulation. There's coming a time where God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the planet Earth. And we also know that Christ is coming for a glorious church. We will be translated, wrath poured out on the earth. We will be in heaven at that time, going through the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we return in that glorious time. Christ returns to the earth with all the angels and all his saints. Praise the Lord. Now notice what it says about this particular time of when you've got to wait for him. Verse 9 says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language." So at that time, a pure language, "that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Now this speaks of one word, not many. And the pure language God is talking about here is not, as some people have interpreted it, it'll be the Hebrew and so on. No, it's the pure biblical language. It's a clarion call of purity. Okay? A pure language that they may all, talking about all of the body of Christ, all in the city of God or Zion, all in Zion would be able to call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So we see that the city of God, the Zion, will be cleansed, will be prepared, and they'll all be able to call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Verse 10 says, "From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring mine offering." So that speaks of a large conversion right across the earth. Verse 11, "In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain." So we see that which is offensive to God will be taken out of the midst of the body of Christ, out of the city of God, the Zion, out of the holy mountain. And verse 12 it says, "I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." The remnant of Israel. So at this time there'll be a remnant of Israel saved. We know about the Gog invasion of Israel and the destruction of Gog. And at that time, about the time when the body of Christ is turned to a pure language, at that time it says in verse 13, "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." And that is what it says in verse 14. "Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more." This talks about a time of great rejoicing, of great victory. In verse 16, "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack." Okay, so at the moment, the body of Christ hands are indeed slack, not to the task, all types of silliness happening, all types of foolishness, people saying, I'll go and fellowship there, or I'll flit across to there, or I'll go because they've got this program. Whereas it should be, I'll go because the Lord is planting me here. Or I'll do this because this is what the Lord is saying. Or I'll put my hand to the plow and not look back, no matter what the world might say, and so on. No, Zion, which is a type of the church, remember that. Let not thine hands be slack. And verse 17, we know this well. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Praise the Lord. God is good. Now God is turning the people, and we need to be prepared for it, turning the people to a pure language. That word pure is very important to grab hold of. Look in Psalm 12. We'll go through the book of Psalms. It's quite a lot about it in Psalms. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. So remember what the start of Zephaniah 3 said. It talked about the polluted and filthy city. Talking about, you know, things aren't right in the city. But God is making a determination to change that, to bring, turn the people to a pure language, that they may all call upon his name and all serve him with one consent. So looking at Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, we see this is where the purity lies. And notice what it says. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has placed his word in the earth today. He said they're pure words. They've gone through the furnace of the earth. They've been purified seven times. So they've gone through a whole purification process. And they're available today. And he's preserved them from this generation forever. There's a preservation that the Lord has placed with his word. And notice, he calls it pure words. Pure words. Do you know that they're nourishing words? They're good words. They're good for the heart. Good for the soul. They'll enable you to think correctly, to believe correctly. Praise the Lord. Look also at Psalm 19 verse 8. A bit over, Psalm 19 verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now we saw before that in the midst of the polluted city there was violence to the law of God. It was changing it, saying it's not right, and things like that. But the commandment of the Lord, you take it as it stands, is pure, enlightening the eyes. What does it do to the eyes? It puts light in your eyes. Spiritually, you're able to see then. So enlightening the eyes, we know that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Praise the Lord. So there is an enlightening that comes when you acknowledge the truth of the Lord, the purity of God's word. And as it says there, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Should be rejoicing about that. Go also across to Psalm 119, verse 140. Now I would counsel, and I believe the Lord is in this, in what I'm saying, that you do not expose yourself as much as you can. Do not expose yourself to modern versions. You seek to keep yourself away from that, whether it be through radio or sermons or whatever. You seek to keep yourself away from that as much as possible. Sometimes it's not completely possible, but you make a determination in your heart, I will not listen to that deliberately if I can avoid it. In Psalm 119, verse 140, it says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." So you'll be wanting to expose yourself to the very pure word of God. Because what does that mean? There's a love attached to it, isn't there? This is something you can say you love. I love the pure word of God. It's very pure word of God. I love that. I love it. It rejoices my heart. I love that. And God is turning his people to this pure biblical language. And you'll see it more and more as we come to the end of this evil world, present evil world. And go back to Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2. And says here in Psalm 34, 1 and 2, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall what? Hear thereof and be glad." So people have to humble themselves to hear the word of the Lord. There has to be a humbling to hear the word of the Lord. Humbling often means repentance. "Lord, I haven't been hearing. Lord, I've been seeking to do other things other than your will." But the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Is that coming up? I believe so. Look, judgment begins at the house of God. That's what the word tells us. There is judgment coming that will require a humbling of people. So they say, "I humble myself, and you know correctly, Lord, you know right, and I haven't. I have been going my own way." But we must hear, so therefore we must be humble. "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And your soul will make her boast in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go across to Psalm 138, verses 4 and 5. You see, we're coming at a time of great expansion of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Christ. Great expansion of that means that he's going to touch all levels of society, all different types of people. There's going to be the gospel of the kingdom preached right throughout. Psalm 138, verses 4 and 5 says, "All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." So notice it says that all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. When they hear the words of thy mouth. So currently we're in a great famine of hearing. So it's coming to a time when there's going to be a great hearing of the words of God's mouth. A great hearing is coming. Yes, we're in the middle of a famine. What should we do if we're in the middle of the famine? We should be sowing. Sowing. Sowing, just like Isaac did. Sowing. And there'll be a great reaping. We should be preparing for a great harvest coming, for the preaching of the word. Preparing our hearts, preparing as believers in Christ, and preparing as a church. Glory to God. And many will come into the kingdom of God through us being prepared for that. Now, as I said, at all types of levels of society, it's going to come about that people will hear the words of God's mouth. It's not just going to be any old word. It'll be that pure language that we saw in Zephaniah. so that the church will go forward as a word-washed church of power. Whereas currently there's all types of fracturing, and even the heathens see, oh, look, that group is believing that and that's that, and they're all over the place almost. There'll be a great unification, not in a wrong way, but in according to the word of God and in line with the word of God, a washing type of way. So look at Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. Because this is the goal. This is what the body of Christ has to do. And this prophecy shall come to pass prior to the end coming, prior to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. We see in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now we currently know that that's not the case. Okay? It hasn't been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. One thing we do know about this time is that the accessibility of the word of God is greater than it has been in any other time of history. Okay, it's easier to travel now. It's easier for information to be gathered and to be disseminated and to be preached. It's easy to get historical documents now and research. It's so easy. But at the moment, that technology, a lot of that is being used for the devil. But that's got to be changed. A lot of that technology has to be changed and channeled into this primary this primary motive and direction, as in verse 14, that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, so then the end will come. So we see that there are certain things that are going to happen for the future, and the Lord is leading his church, leading his people along into that time. And God will have a church that is powerful, that is glorious, that is without spot and wrinkle. You might think at the moment it's impossible. How could it be? God will have it. And it will show, that very thing will show his power as has never been seen before. It will be one of the greatest miracles of history ever. Praise the Lord. Lastly, we'll look at Revelation 3, because this talks about right in the middle of the church period of history that we're in, which is the Laodicean church period of history, and what God is requiring at this time. God is requiring, have a look at Revelation 3, verse 3a, first of all, the first part of verse 3. Now, this is talking about, and we'll just read it. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. There's the process that has to happen. People have to remember what has been received in the church and heard. Okay, they have to hold fast to that and repent of going astray from that. All right, and that's very important. Then go across to verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there has to be now a restoration of a hearing ear, not these itching ear type of things or these deaf ears, but a hearing ear, so that the Spirit, who is speaking to the churches even now, so that people are hearing what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And now we come into the Laodicean time, a period And what is God saying to this church of today? What's he saying to the church today? Verses 19 and 20. He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," what? "Hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You know, you and I can make the determination in our hearts, a decision to say, "I will hear your voice. I will hear your voice and I open up the door of my heart to you, Lord." Okay? You may have received Christ as your Saviour, and that's wonderful. That's important. But you also have to be listening to him as you're going in your Christian walk. You have to be people that are hearing constantly. Because if you don't, it'll affect your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have to be people of faith, because this is the only way there's going to be a great harvest before the end of the world, a great harvest of souls, and that is through people of faith, people that are going to rise up and say, "I hear what the Spirit is saying. I hear what you are saying, Lord. I hear your voice, and I open the door." And there's the promise. Christ will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. There'll be that intimate relationship. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word. It is clear. And we open ourselves up today, and we determine today to be people of a hearing heart. Help every person here, under the sound of my voice, Lord, to be a person that hears, that responds, that grows in faith. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing and for your strength and your help in our lives. We ask for your help to continue with us in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you.